Proverbs 20 is being read this morning because today's the 20th. And for those of you that are familiar with that concept, there's enough Proverbs to get you through each month. So any morning when you wake up and you think, I just need a little bit of wisdom from God, if it's the 5th, turn to Proverbs 5 and read through Proverbs 5. If it's the 26th, read through Proverbs 26. Today's the 20th. And as I read through this, I'm going to want you to think about, are there some things here that you would like to share with the congregation? During sharing time, I'll turn the recorder off so that doesn't end up on the internet or anything, but things that you would like to share about, you know, what's God doing in your life, or what would you like Him to be doing? How does this match something that you recognize as a moral principle? Remembering that Proverbs is generally written by King Solomon, supposedly the wisest man in all of history. He had wisdom beyond belief, and people would come from miles around and pay him large sums of money just to sit at his feet and listen to his wisdom. He's trying to share some of that wisdom with his son or with his sons, and especially the ones that would be, he had a son, Rehoboam, became the next king, and so being a king, you'd like to have some wisdom, and so he's trying to share wisdom with his son. He learned a lot of things through his own mistakes. As you read through Ecclesiastes, you can find a lot of things that he tried and failed at. And so I love that Solomon's a real person from real history that had some of the same problems that we did, and thinking he could do things on his own strength and working things through and realizing, you know what? Ultimately, it's all about God. He's the one that's guiding and directing us. So he's trying to share some of that with his sons. Kathy's got the first slide up there. Wonderful. So if you want to read it in the Bible, there's multiple versions if you brought your own. If you'd like to read it off the wall, that's fine as well. Wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. A king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. That jumps out at me based on the text that I'm teaching from the book of James today. James 1:19 is saying that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I think we've all met that one that's quick to quarrel. Sometimes it's been us. Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. How many of you could hear your dad's voice when you hear something like that? The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? That's a rhetorical question, by the way. None of us can really say that. Differing weights and differing measures, the Lord detests them both. It's remarkable when you go through Scripture how many times this comes up. God really doesn't like people that are pretenders and hypocrites, and they're going through saying that they're giving you a good business deal and they're cheating you by holding their thumb on the scale or giving you false weights where they have heavier weights when they're selling and buying, and they're not honest weights. Honesty is kind of important. Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright? You ever heard the term innocent children? When you were a child, were you really innocent? Ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. It's no good, says the buyer. Then goes off and boasts about the purchase. Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, But lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if it is done for an outsider. Food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, obtain guidance. I think that verse would mean more to you if you were going to be the next one to be a king. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. Do not say, "I'll pay you back for this wrong." Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. The Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. A person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? It is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows. A wise king winnows out the wicked. He drives the threshing wheel over them. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. Love and faithfulness keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. The glory of young men is their strength, gray hair the splendor of the old. Blows and wounds scrub away evil, and beatings purge the inmost being. All right, anything jump out at you there? Turn what off? Oh, I need to return the recorder off. Thank you, Kev. Recording's off. Pause again. James chapter 1. We've been working through the book of James since back in June, and I suspect we'll be in James for a while. I'm going slower this time than last time because I want to kind of capture some of the depth here. James is considered wisdom literature, just like the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms. James is a half-brother of Jesus Christ. He grew up with Jesus, didn't really think that Jesus was all that special during his lifetime. He mocked him and tried to tell him, you know, go show yourself, and you know, he kept trying to find ways to jab at his brother. And yet when Jesus goes to the cross, you watch your brother die, and then later on you have a conversation with him. And Paul tells us in Corinthians that Jesus was able to speak with his brother James. And James became a leader of the church in Jerusalem after that conversation. James could have run around saying, "Hey, I'm Jesus' half-brother, and, you know, you should..." He didn't do that. He calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us that he lacked wisdom, and if anybody lacks wisdom, they can ask of the Lord, and the Lord will give generously without finding fault. And I know as a big brother, I would have found fault with my little brother for not believing in me. It's like, okay, come on, I've been telling you this for 30 years now, and you're not paying attention. And yet, Jesus is somebody that I think we would all love to have that conversation with, you know. He's not going to drag us and put his thumb on us and push us down. Do we do that to the world when we're out in the community? Are we being judgmental of people and explaining to them all the things they're doing wrong and how they need to change? Or are we loving them with the Father's love? Are we loving them the way that Jesus loves without finding fault? That's a hard thing to do because it's real easy to just look and find fault. Some of why it's easy is because I can find fault in myself, and then when I see it in others, maybe I'm going to try to be a holy person and try to preserve them from making the same mistakes I made, and so I'll drill it into them. Make sure that they get it. But that's not how Jesus approached me. It's like, I know every thought of your heart and mind, and I love you anyway. That's the Jesus that James got to know. He sort of knew him, but didn't really trust that that's what he was. Maybe he, the whole time, just kind of thought that Jesus was putting on an act. But then he comes to this part, and he's writing this letter to the scattered church, because they're all fleeing and running and getting away from Jerusalem. He's still in Jerusalem as a church leader in Jerusalem, but most of his flock has left, and they've gone other places, and they're being persecuted where they've gone. And so he's writing to them and trying to give them some comfort and some wisdom and some understanding of how to deal with the persecution that they're having to handle. And he tells them, consider it pure joy when you face all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulations, because that joy is going to help you learn perseverance. And when perseverance finishes its work, you'll be mature and complete, and you won't be lacking anything. So James loves his people that have been scattered, and he's trying to give them wisdom to help them. We get to this little jewel of a piece of wisdom here in verse 19. Today's entire text is right there on the screen. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Pay attention to this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. He goes on to explain about the man's anger doesn't ever produce the righteousness that God desires. But just this verse today, dear brothers and sisters, again, he's demonstrating his love through his words. He's sending this letter out to people that he really loves and cares about. And he's probably recognizing, like most of us, if we're frustrated and people are coming at us and we're being persecuted and treated poorly, we have a tendency to get our shackles up, and we want to fight for our rights, and we want to correct the people around us, and we want to not listen. I'm guessing Kathy doesn't want me to talk about politics, but I seem to go there a lot. I'm guessing that if this verse were something that each individual that's been elected to any sort of position, whether we're talking about, you know, the local fire board, fire commissioner, dog catcher, president, anything in between, quick to listen. Is there very much listening going on in the political world right now? And where does that start? It starts in our hearts. There's division among the people that elected the people that are there representing us. We can blame them all we want, but guess what? They got elected by somebody. They were voted in. And it doesn't matter which side of the barn we're on here. It's like, okay, nobody's listening. Is that me too? I've got to guard my own heart. I've got to guard my own mouth. Quick to listen. Quick to hear. What does it say in the King James, Rosemary?
Which verse?
James 1:19. Yeah.
Okay. So then, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath.
Swift to hear. Do we rush into hearing? Now, a lot of the commentaries that I read want to just try to say this is really listening to Scripture, and that's good, and I think it's a valid point, because in verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So there's definitely something about word there, the word of truth. When you get to verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth, the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. So we've been given this word that's been birthed in us, and we want to humbly accept that word. And so there's a part of me that wants to go there and agree with these commentators and say, yeah, this is definitely about, if we would listen to the word of God, be quick to listen. That would make good sense. And I really think that's there, but that's not all that James is talking about. Because he could have just as easily put that in here. Quick to listen to the word. but he didn't. And a lot of what James talks about is interpersonal relationships. In a marriage, Kathy and I can be sitting down and having a conversation, and she might be busy doing something and occupied, and her mind might be somewhere else, and I'm trying to talk. And she's acting like she's listening, but not hearing a word I'm saying. Or we could flip that.
That's usually the way it is.
Yeah. And either way, it's like, okay, are we engaged listeners? I think as a school teacher, there were a lot of times where I was more concerned about getting through my lesson plan because I'm looking at how many more things I needed to do that day, and the next day was just as full, and it wasn't going to be a break before the end of June. So you keep on trying to get through, but I wasn't hearing the students. And sometimes slowing down made a whole lot more sense, because if I could hear where they were not understanding, then we could build some foundational knowledge, and the group knowledge, some of their peers could explain things better than I could. There was a time where I was trying to teach some math concepts, and I was not able to share in a way that the students were understanding a particular math concept. And I had some exchange students from Korea in my class, and one of these gals was just whipping through it, and it was just second nature and too easy for her. And I asked her if she could get up and explain it to the class, put it on the whiteboard, whatever, and she says, well, if I can do it in Korean. I said, okay. No problem. She got up there and did the steps and explained it in Korean, and not another student in the class other than her brother spoke Korean. She explained it in Korean, and they watched and listened, and they all understood it, and I couldn't explain it in English. But they could get it from her when she was explaining it in Korean. Somehow there was some listening going on, and the universal language of math was passing our lack of understanding, and it worked. But I think part of it was they were more willing to listen to her than they were to me. I'm just a crazy old man that's up front there telling them stuff every day, and they're tired of hearing from me. But there's this student that they respect, because they wanted to understand it like she understood it. Scripture talks about iron sharpening iron. That's not just come to church, sit in pews, and listen to a guy speak. Okay? We all can sharpen one another. When I taught children with disabilities that were preschool and nonverbal, I could learn from them. It changes how you listen. Their form of language was portrayed through behavior, not through words. And I could learn from their communication. One little friend, Jacob, would go out in the parking lot, and you kind of had to hold on to him. You couldn't just let him take off. He would take off. And the firing range at Fort Lewis was not too far away from where our school was, so we didn't want him running out there. Bad plan. But he'd take me out to the parking lot sometimes, and he'd go up to a pole, and he'd put his ear up against it and start tapping on it. And then he'd do one at the next pole and tap on that. And I thought, well, this can be tedious because there's a lot of poles in this parking lot, all these light poles. But I realized from Jacob that each one of those poles had a little bit different tone. No two were alike. And each one actually kind of had a fun sound. And we'd put our ears up and he'd tap. I had another little friend in that class that liked to use his tongue as a sensory tool, and he would go up and down the hallway, so we'd go into the library, and we needed an extra assistant each time we went out in public, because he would use his tongue on the wall to get that sensory experience. I didn't try that. I'm not sure what he was learning from that, but quick to listen. What I was listening for was, even before he got there, we needed to make sure that was a clean surface. Because he was going to do that every day. So we would have to kind of, and help him not do that. We were trying to teach him other behaviors as well. But, you know, preschoolers with autism are fun to hang out with. I can guarantee you, you would never be bored. Quick to listen. One of the assistants that was in my classroom was not quick to listen. And we worked with her for quite a while and then helped her find a place where she could use her skills more wisely. She saw the kids as objects that needed to be worked with rather than as people that needed to be communicated with. And so it was time for some toileting or something, for example, and she'd say, okay, time to go. And she'd just grab them and start dragging them to the bathroom. And it's like, no. Communicate. Find out. You know, what are they ready for? But it wasn't always difficult. There was a principal that got frustrated with not only my kids, but there were Evergreen Elementary on Fort Lewis had about 60% special needs students. It's pretty high because of Madigan Hospital there. And some of the kids that were in the school were older than my class. I just did the preschooler up through five-year-olds. This is some older kids, and they would go places in the building that the principal didn't want them, and she didn't know how to get them back to where she wanted them. She came frantically into my room one day, and it's like, Charles is in the cafeteria, and he won't leave. I said, okay, where would you like him? Well, he needs to get back to class. Okay. So I walked up to the cafeteria and put my hand out and said, hey, Charles, take my hand. He did. I said, let's go for a walk. Okay. We walked him back to class. We got there, and he looked happy to see the classmates and jumped back into the work he was supposed to be doing. And I started back to class. The principal grabs me in the hallway. How'd you do that? It's like, he's a friend. I spent 3 years getting to know Charles. Charles and I learned to listen to one another. Charles trusted me. He's not going to run off with somebody that's trying to make him do something and he doesn't trust him. One thing I loved about the children that I worked with, they were honest and upright, and they weren't going to just do something because everybody expected them to do it. I had to learn to be a listener with whatever verbal or nonverbal communication I could get from the kids I was working with. I did better with that than I did with the administrators I was working with, unfortunately. I wasn't always quick to listen to the big picture people that were trying to find ways to make the system work. I've learned over the years communication better that way. But it's still an area I struggle with sometimes. Do any of you struggle with listening? You ever been on that call with somebody, a bill collector or whatever, and find yourself talking over them because they clearly don't want to hear a word you're saying? So then you try to get louder? You can tell the difference between somebody that's listening to you on the phone even, and somebody that's just trying to get through the call. So I think James is sharing some pretty good knowledge here. It's like, brothers and sisters, my dear ones, you that I love, take note of this. Pay attention to this. Everyone should be quick to listen. One way that I think we demonstrate we're not quick to listen is we're quick to speak. And so the next part, it says slow to speak. I was running for school board in Tacoma, and there were 5 candidates for the position I was running for. And we were on a television interview, and I found it tedious, to be honest with you. The other 4 were trying to jump in and shout and yell and fight with each other, and I mostly just kind of sat there and relaxed. Then Mike Larnigan, the moderator, partway through, he says, well, Tony, I haven't heard much from you. And he gave me an opportunity to share and shut their mics off. Sometimes it pays to be slow to speak. You ever watch those news talk shows where they try to say that they're bringing all the different points of view in, and you can't hear any of their points of view? Because they're all talking over each other? Taking turns was something that we worked with a lot with preschool and kindergarten. And I get the feeling, I don't know, Holly, are you noticing that sometimes the kids get to the older grades and they're still not very good at taking turns or waiting their turn? A lot of families don't think it's necessary for their children to have to wait. They'll be upset if their child wasn't first in line or things to work with. But are we that same way? I know I can get pretty irritated out on the highway here sometimes when I can tell somebody wants to go faster than me and they're behind me, just 6 inches behind me, and then they're trying to go around me on blind corners with double yellow lines. Well, right now there's no lines. It can be crazy. And I can get competitive in my mind, or I can say, where's the next place I can pull over and give them an opportunity to go safely? When I was younger, I might be more tempted to just kind of slow down and be even more irritating to them. Get in their way. Cause them to be more frustrated. Well, where does that get anybody? Quick to listen. They've got a need. There's something going on in their head. I don't know what it is, and I can't fix that. But I can help keep the highway safer by staying out of their way. Little things like that. And just learning to listen, learning to be quick to hear and slow to speak. And then he throws in here, and slow to become angry, slow to wrath. I think if we don't feel like we're being heard, we can get upset and get more demanding. And that's where that anger starts to churn up a little bit. You ever have a conversation in your own head where you're arguing with somebody, and you can't tell whether you're winning or losing because it's not real, it's just happening. You have these things you know that if you were there, you'd be able to say to them, but in reality, is they probably wouldn't hear you anyway because they probably have that argument going in their head about what they'd say to you. Part of listening is not trying to think up what you're going to say next in response. A lot of times I'm not listening to Kathy. I'm trying to think of, well, how else am I going to respond to her? You know, she's not taking this conversation where I want it to go. I think I'm going to steer it somewhere else. And I've got an idea of where it needs to go. And so while she's saying one thing, I'm talking about something else. That's maybe happened once or twice during our 40 years of marriage, right? Or this week.
Today.
It is just the first day. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you go back to Proverbs, you could find there's about 25 times that Solomon writes down, he's hopefully got his son's attention, he's writing him some wisdom literature, right? And this is something hopefully a son would want to know before he becomes king. But he keeps saying, listen to me, my son, pay attention. This is important. When you get into the Gospels, Jesus is saying, verily, verily, surely, surely, come on, listen, listen. We don't focus well enough on listening. And sometimes our tongues are so loose, we're sharing what we think is wisdom, where, again, Proverbs says, even a fool is considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Rosemary.
Along with what you just said, when a fool speaks, everybody has always thought they were a fool, but when they, this fool speaks, then he removes all doubt.
Yeah.
Amen.
James has got some brilliant wisdom here. And I think there's enough in that verse. I mean, I could have, last time I spoke on this, I think I started in verse 19 here and went through about half of chapter 2 as well. I was kind of flying through James 6 years ago when we taught this. I think I went through verse 13 of chapter 2 from here. I want to take it slower because there's a type of scripture intake that I think we forget as a society is meditating on the word. If any of you have internet access and you just want kind of a silly fun thing to look up, James 1:19 on YouTube has a hip hop song that goes to three blind mice and gives the wisdom of if that farmer's wife would have just been listening, all they were doing was asking for some spare crumbs. It's not that big a deal. She didn't have to go to jail for cutting their tails off. And so anyway, it's kind of a fun hip hop song if you're into that. It's interesting what you can find. It also might help you memorize the verse because they go over it a number of times in the song. And then they go, and that's from the word, yo. And anyway, God, we turn to you knowing that your word is true. It's trustworthy. It's honest, and truly want to be better listeners. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And cause us to truly understand the people around us, where their actual needs are and not just what we perceive as needs. And give us the ability to love with your love, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we can pray in your name. Amen.